right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Drivers ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Survivors Ready podcast. My name is Adam, and I'm one of your hosts. We are missing Fatty this evening because he is with his mother, and but I am joined by two wonderful co-hosts this evening. We have the return of Evan, so I don't have to say playing the part of Evan Ayers this evening. Evan is actually playing his own part this evening. So welcome, Evan.
Hi. Thank you. It's an honor to be myself tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just, it's a recurring thing. I don't know, because the other show that we did, but first that we will do again when Big Brother comes back, Alex Lefebvre was Fatty's favorite. You know, I don't want to speak out of turn and offend all the other co-hosts, but I'm
gonna.
So yeah, Alex Lefebvre was Fatty's favorite. And so it was like playing the part of Alex Lefebvre is Chris from, whatever. And so, now Fatty has started already. You were on one episode and already Fatty is going and playing the part of Evan. So there you go. So,
hey,
I guess you're Fatty's favorite.
Thank you.
Anyway, welcome back. And we're also joined by Chris, who is probably second favorite, you know.
And let me say, it's a joy to be back. And it's a pleasure watching Evan play his own part, as you put it. It's always a lovely thing to watch.
Yeah. So
it's real serious method acting here.
And you guys are meeting for the first time. So,
it's a pleasure meeting you. I enjoyed your episode last week. So it's nice to be on with you.
Thank you very much. Likewise.
So I don't remember any, Chris, do you remember any of the questions? Because we had all these questions during the episode where we were like, if only Evan was here, we could ask him this question. And I didn't write any of them down or anything like that. Do you remember any of the burning questions that we had
last week? I don't know that it was a burning question for anybody but myself, but I know one of the questions I brought up last week was just, you know, how long have they not been using the Survivor theme music at the top of every episode?
Yes. So I came prepared with a few notes I took, and that was one.
Yay.
Of them. So the theme music was produced by a guy named Russ Landau, who was on the show, and he did the theme for seasons 1 through 27. And then after that he left. And so after 27, they started recycling music. And I would say around season, like around then, they would do like a condensed version, and then now they've cut it out completely. But they still do create the theme. Every season has its own intro, but it's on YouTube. So they don't air it. And every season, the producer of Survivor, like I think his name's Matt something, he always puts it out. And he's like, we would totally air this if we had the time. Which I think if you could have 60 seconds to air like this amazing theme, it's for me, it's the best part of the show. I love the theme so much. And I really wish they would air it. But so even though it's not original music anymore, they always do create an introduction, and it's just put on YouTube now.
Huh. Well, I'll have to look it up, because I was mentioning last week that not only do I enjoy the music as well and kind of hearing some of the variations from one season to the next, at least when they were doing that, but also, you know, the montage at the beginning helped me to learn the different contestants at the beginning of every season when there were just too many to keep track of. And so I do miss that.
Yeah, and it just builds, like, they're always, like, these, like, amazing, epic shots, and stuff. They're always just, it just really, like, kind of builds the how, like, grand this show is. So I think it's a shame that we don't see it on TV. But yeah, it's good.
So it's on YouTube? Is that, like, have you looked to see? So I'm looking. Survivor.
Yeah. Fun fact, you could play any theme, and within the first 5 seconds, I could tell you what season it was.
So you've listened.
And that's why you're the Survivor savant.
Yeah, I used to, when I do work out, I work out to the music. I would like, whenever I like need to get something done, I like will play it, and it puts me in like the best mood. Oh, it's so good.
So I can't find, I'm searching for Survivor David maybe this is it. Let me see. I'm going to play this and see if this is, no, that didn't. I apparently suck at searching for things on YouTube. All right. Well, we'll find that and maybe play it next week or something, because I'm searching for that and nothing's coming up. So, things are coming up, but it's like tribal council or, you know, whatever. I'm not getting the theme. But so you said you had some notes. So were they notes of the, of questions that we had asked last week?
Because no, I was just trying to keep up with the things that you guys were like, oh, well, Evan would know this. And I was like, I do know it, but I didn't really remember all of them. But the intro was one of them. And then the medical situation that you guys kind of talked about how the quest contestants, if they get doctor, like if they get treatment or whatever. And so I just had some follow up with that. But so interestingly enough, the contestants actually, they get medically like examined before and after every challenge, every tribal council and every like confession that they do, because they're so paranoid about them getting hurt and getting sick. And like, because if they just start dropping like flies and they don't have good TV. And so when you see things like what happened last week with B, where she was already bandaged up and stuff.
Wait, so, excuse me. What? How do you pronounce her name? Say that again.
B. Yeah.
B. Oh, B. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Where that, this, Adam? I don't know where this bi nonsense is coming from. I mean, this is like a gay podcast.
I thought I heard them say bi. So Mark, he went to the Survivor Instagram and found the little interview that they do. Like, I guess they do an interview with each one and put it on Instagram as well. And that he found her interview. And so in her interview, she actually says B. So he said, are you going to play that tonight? But I didn't save it anywhere that I could pull it up quickly. So yes, I was wrong.
Well, I mean, she did say bye, but her name is B.
Well, yeah.
That was a bad joke.
Not one.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Evan. You were talking about B's medical situation and
But so the contestants actually, they're like rigorously like examined when they're out there. So like when she was walking in to that challenge with her knee wrapped up, like it had already been decided that she was going home. Like they know exactly what, you know, a lot of it's just like they have to do the theater for the actual show. But ever since, I think Koh Rong was when they had three people that were like evacuated, which was like a really like serious season. They're really, really crazy about like checking them for everything. And so they do get doctor visits. The contestants do actually, if you're prescribed medication or anything, you actually do get, like they have little like boxes that are only specifically for them. So they can go, the women have like, you know, feminine like hygiene things. If you have a certain like antidepressant you're on or something, they're always allowed to take those. It's just like really heavily regulated. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but they are very, very vigorous. They're very, very, very well taken care of out there.
Good to know.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. So any other notes that are not related to tonight's episode? Cause we'll get into that in a second.
No, I mean, I loved listening to last week and it was such a frigging good episode that I was sad that I couldn't be there, but I enjoyed listening to you guys recap it. And, how wrong I was. Natalia was my winner pick. I said that.
Well, you also, this was a much more minor thing, but you also said that you thought they were going to break up into two tribes only, and Fatty predicted three, and you know, then they did three.
He was right. Hey, I'll take the L where it's due.
And then they put Carl over on whatever that other island. And so, well, let's get into tonight. This week's episode. I don't remember now if that was before I pressed record or after I pressed record, but Chris and I both watched this episode tonight.
Okay.
So, because I've been saving it until Sunday nights just because my memory is horrible. So if I say tonight's episode, I mean Wednesday, but I watched it tonight. So, we actually started out, they had more bad weather. So I think it was episode one or two. I don't remember. That they had bad weather, and that's when Jeff and I think Evan, you might have been, that might have been the episode that you were on, the first one you were on, where we were talking about they gave them tarps and like, you know, stuff that they don't usually do. And then you had also mentioned that I remember you saying that occasionally they will get evacuated and taken, you know, somewhere where they don't see anyone or, you know, whatever, and they don't have any outside contact, but they're, so we start out with, well, I mean, they do a little bit of recap of last week, and you see the tribe. I believe it was Jabeni last week who actually lost Natalia, and so we see a little bit about, you know, Nick was talking to No, am I wrong? Who did we? That one. I'm totally wrong. Wait a minute. Hmm. We see Vuku. Sorry, Vuku, which is the orange tribe. We see a little bit about them. That's Natalia. Sorry, there's Natalie on the purple, and I can't read my handwriting. So Alec was kind of responsible for getting rid for the blind side that happened last week. And so we see a conversation between Alec and Kara, and, you know, we see a little bit about how she doesn't trust him anymore. And she's going around talking to Davey and Elizabeth and kind of trying to say, hey, guys, I'll work with you. You know, we need to get rid of Alec if we go to tribal, because, look, he's already flipped and he's going to be have a target. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff, like he's going to have a target on his back because he's gone against what Goliath said. And how can you guys trust him? He won't need you, but I will, because I'm in the weak position here. So we see a little bit about that. So I guess any thoughts on that, Evan?
I think that was, that was good on Kara to at least be proactive to do that. But I think it's kind of a lost cause for in this situation, just because she's right where, you know, Alec can't be trusted. Some of the Goliaths might say that he can't be trusted, but that is going to benefit the Davids there, because he is kind of a free agent. So I think if this was a situation where they went to tribal, I think she would have gone home, just because, like, he put himself in a position where he was useful to them. Survivor's all about, can you help me? Can I help you? Like, do we have a common enemy? And so, like, unfortunately for her, she kind of just was in a really bad spot. And I think she was doing the right thing by at least trying. But I think if a situation came up where they went to vote somebody out next, I think it would be a hard, hard sell for her to get their support.
Yeah, I was actually surprised, because, Carl, now, granted, Carl was away on Exile Island. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Carl was away and didn't really see what had gone on. But they show a clip of Carl talking to Kara, and he kind of seemed like he was going for what she was saying. Like, oh yeah, we need to get rid of Alec next time. And I was surprised by that, because I thought anyone on the David side, they would be indebted to Alec after he made that move last week, and they would want to keep him around because he kind of, you know, he went with them. And so I was kind of surprised that Carl, being a David, was like, oh yeah, let's get rid of Alec. But I mean, maybe because he wasn't really a part of it. He was, you know, off, you know, doing something else, finding coconuts or whatever. But then they interviewed Elizabeth, and she was like, no, we're voting out Kara if it comes to that. So I think, you know, maybe Carl, it was just because he was not, you know, he was not there. So yeah. Chris, did you have thoughts on that?
No.
Well, I did want to ask both of you. Well, actually, I wanted to ask Evan for sure, because you weren't here last week. Do you think that was a smart move for Alec to make so early?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was I do think that it was like an impressive move. And I think it was like, it's great gameplay, but I think it is such early, like, aggression. I think the target that he puts on himself from doing that is just like is so massive, and it's pretty well like it's pretty common in the show for the fifth boot to be like this like crazy blindside. You have Monica from Second Chances, Rorik from Heroes Hustlers. There's like this big thing where like people are get so excited like after the first few votes that they feel like this is their time to like make a big move, and often it results in them kind of just looking like a jerk or like not being trustworthy. So do I think that he made the right move long term? Probably not, but I respect it, because I think that's like what makes the game fun to watch as a viewer. I don't think that he is going to be successful later on as a result of it, though.
Well, it's always interesting, because I mean, when you start out with two tribes and then, you know, then you do like split into three or, you know, whatever. And then you have all these different, you know, different variations on the kind of how it works out. It just so happened this year that all of the tribes had more Goliath than David. But it's always interesting to kind of see, do they stick together as the tribe they were at the beginning, or do they, you know, start? And I will say, Goliath, even though they've said Goliath strong, we've heard that a few times. We heard that tonight or on this week's episode. They're the ones that, I mean, we'll get to who got evicted and stuff, but I mean, they seem to be the ones picking themselves off at this early point, which is interesting, you know.
Yeah, they're flipping on each other left and right, which is interesting to see how that'll work out for them.
So I don't know if that'll make a huge difference, because I mean we have seen them talk a lot about, you know, oh, that's going to be bad. So when Kara was talking about Alec and several of them were talking about him. Oh, that's going to be bad for him when we merge, because, you know, they didn't come right out and say it, but basically it sounded like he's gone against Goliath and Goliath was going to be strong. But with all the other stuff that's been going on, I don't know if that's going to be such a factor as what people think, you know, because it seems that Goliath is not, at least some members of Goliath are not opposed to getting rid of their own tribe members.
Yeah, and that's also something that happens, you notice in seasons where one tribe plays the game without voting someone off, like for the first like 6 or 7 days, they're kind of stuck together and they really don't, they feel like they're like cooped up and really don't get to play the game. And so sometimes you see when they like, once they kind of can start like turning on each other, they're just so sick of each other that they're ready to do whatever. And a lot of times they implode on themselves. So I'm not surprised that this is happening, but I do think that some of them are going to regret this.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, side note, is this like, can you guys like hear how loud this is outside?
I did hear something that sounded like an AC or a vent or something.
Okay.
Gotten quieter, but.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to like lower it. There's like this huge, like crazy, like thing going on outside of my apartment. So I'm trying to eliminate it.
Sounds like a big attic fan outside.
Yeah, it's a mess. I apologize.
It's okay. Anyway, so then we get all the storm stuff. Christian makes a comment, and Christian is on Teva, by the way. He makes a comment about, oh, you know, it's we're all Davids right now because it's the storm is Goliath, you know, and then they get a note. They all get a note that they're going to be evacuated. And they don't really spend much time on it. I mean, basically, they get a note that they're going to be evacuated. I think it goes to commercial. And then we come back and the sun is out and they're all coming back into their various camps. And it seems like all of their shelters for all three tribes were pretty much destroyed by the storm. Now, Larkin in the chat room asked, and I don't know, I don't pay a lot of attention to the days, but he asked the question, were they removed from the island for more than one day? Do we know that? Because they evacuated on day 12, and based on the show, they said they returned on day 13. But I never pay attention to the days anyway, so I don't really know. And I didn't look to see if there were any like stories about that or anything.
I don't know. And I'd be curious, Evan, do you know any behind the scenes stuff about what, I mean, I don't know how far away they have to go to escape the storms, but I'm assuming they go to a hotel or something, or where do they get taken in a case like that?
You've muted yourself, I think.
Oh, sorry. So I remember in Millennials Gen X, they were evacuated and they apparently were taken to two separate like huts where they were like told to like sleep on the floor. They had no amenities whatsoever. So I think that's probably what they did. I would be surprised if they like put them in a hotel, but I mean, they're obviously going to be in like a sound structural like building, but I don't think they were allowed to like shower or do anything. But I do know that in these situations, they're put on like complete hard ice, which is what you call it when like they can't speak, they're very heavily like monitored just to make sure that no gameplay happens while this is taking place because they can't film it. So I would imagine it was pretty bare, but it was probably a lot better than, you know, what they've been sleeping in the first couple nights.
Well, and that's what I was most curious about is whether or not they got to take a shower. So, yeah.
I would be surprised if they allowed it, but with also like you never know. I wouldn't be. I feel like there are stories of like there being like one like softy like PA or someone who like, you know, lets them do like gives them a mint or something. So you know, I wouldn't be shocked.
So Larkin says he heard they were in a hotel this time, but
I can see that. You know, good for them.
Yeah. So we have that anyway. So they didn't pay. I mean, they didn't spend a lot of time on that. I assume they had to rebuild stuff because they all came back and. And then they were showing kind of basically the destruction or that destruction, the the bad stuff that went on. So, and then we kind of, we moved straight from that to the reward challenge. And this time they did separate it out. The first few episodes, they have had like reward and immunity in the same competition, but this one they did separate out. And so it was, I'm trying to remember. So there, it's hard to describe, but there's this netting that it's like a,
well, can I stop you there?
Yeah,
for a second?
You can.
Mean, well, two things actually. One is this the first time that we hear the guys talking about being brochachos? Because that sort of stuck out to me. I think that was in the lead up to the reward challenge, where they were bringing Christian into the group of brochachos. Was that the word? Because I don't know why that.
I couldn't remember if that was before. I thought all of that stuff was after the reward challenge. But no, you may be right. But I was that. But no, I haven't heard that. So yeah. So they had so Dan and John and Christian were all hanging around, and they're on TiVa. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Christian was trying to split some bamboo or something. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they were having a little conversation, and they were talking about, oh, they're all now calling themselves brochachos. And and Christian, they were like, yeah, and Christian, you're a part of that. And then I don't know, they're talking about, he said he wanted to be, somebody wanted to be the CEO of the brochachos or something like that. And then he said, he said, I'm going to be the, I don't remember what he said, H something. I don't remember, but that's the first I've heard. I mean, that's the first I paid attention. So it sounds like they have a little Big Brother alliance thing going on. They've named themselves, you know.
It just sort of sounded hetero adorable to me. I don't know why, but the other thing that did happen before the reward challenge is that Dan, I think, was the one who went off on his walkabout and was looking all around for not his first, but his second immunity idol, and found not the idol itself, but the little note saying that when you go to, or am I getting the right, or was that during the, Was that what? Now that they split the challenges up, I'm getting myself confused. Was that before the reward or before the immunity challenge?
That was before the immunity challenge.
Damn it! I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. No. It is perfectly fine. It's. I didn't take any notes, so I could be wrong. But I believe that was before. So the way I remember it is Storm. They came back and saw how badly everything was damaged. They went immediately to reward challenge.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they had all the conversation stuff that went on.
So, again,
I could be wrong. So they went to reward. And so there was, for some reason, I'm having trouble describing this, but each one of the teams had this, this structure, for lack of a better term, with a net. And then there's all these bags, these sandbags on this net above their head. And they're given like these poles with, I don't know, some sort of thing on the end of them. Larkin's saying cargo net. So, and they have to kind of push at this net to knock the bags off onto the ground. Mm-hmm. And they have to get all of them off. And then after they get all the bags off, then they take them over to a big slingshot, and they have a couple of targets that they're baskets that they have to slingshot these bags into, and it's weighted enough that flips up a flag. And so and I don't remember who did what exactly. On that one, I don't know if you guys remember like who did what on each of the teams.
I just remember I call her Sandy, like Sandy Cheeks, which who is Elizabeth? Remember Elizabeth like being the one?
Yeah,
that,
the lesbian cowboy.
Who's not a lesbian?
the non-lesbian cowboy.
Yeah, I just remember her being like the one that like brought it home, and her having that line. Oh, that's what that's from Squirrel Hunt, baby. Like the most
Squirrel Hunt with a slingshot. Yeah.
God, the producers were like, yes, like that is like what that's like that's a dream as a casting director. You're like, thank God this girl's here. But yeah, that's all I remember from that challenge, really.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning, Dan and John were doing the poll thing where they had to punch the bags, yeah, and they were doing a really good job. And then I think it was on Orange, I think it was Davey and Alec, I want to say, who were doing the kind of poll thing. But then Elizabeth is the one who was doing the slingshot part. And then on Purple, I don't remember who was doing what.
Yeah.
But anyway, so who ended up winning that, Chris?
Let's see. Was it Vuku that won the first? I mean, it was a two-tiered system. Vuku came in first, I think, and then Jabini came in second.
Yeah.
Which means that Vuku won chickens and a rooster, and Jabini won just some eggs.
Yeah. And not, I mean, pertinent, but not really pertinent to the game. But I'm always curious to know what people would do. So if you're on the island, do you kill the chicken and eat the chicken? Or do you keep the chickens and eat the eggs? Or do you do both? Do you kill one of the chickens and keep the... Like, what would you do? So, Chris, what would you do in that situation? Would you want to eat chicken one day and have less eggs, or have eggs for the entire time?
I mean, that's a great question. And especially because, admittedly, I'm not enough of a farm boy to know, but they pointed out, they were specific about saying they gave them several hens and one rooster. What's the point of the rooster in that situation? Because the rooster's not going to lay eggs. So, you know, why not kill the rooster? And I don't know.
Yeah, actually, that's interesting. I don't know what the – I don't – well.
Well, doesn't the rooster, like, make the – doesn't it take two to tango? So like the rooster is why the egg happens. I think that's what it is. He's like the pimp of that little chicken.
Yeah, but that's only if you want fertilized eggs. The hens will still lay eggs without a rooster.
I'm pretty sure.
So I don't know.
I don't think they're out there long enough to have baby chicks that they can also fry up or whatever. Yeah. So no, that's a valid point. I'd actually never thought about whether a hen would lay an egg without the rooster. I mean, obviously you need the rooster to have a baby chick, but
yeah.
So you don't know what you, Evan, would you eat the chicken or?
Well, first I would let somebody else tell them, everyone, what they wanted to do. Cause you never want to be the one to start drama. So I'd let somebody else share their opinion first. And then I would react to that. Personally, I would rather like keep them and have the eggs, but you know, if someone's like down to fry a chicken or kill it, like I'll be the first one to partake in that feast. But in these situations as a player, you never want to be the one to like voice your strong opinion because it just starts drama, which it did this episode.
So was it Ty? Was that his name? That they were his pets basically. Yeah. And
he had Mark the chicken, Mark, who literally got a bit on the intro. Like they made like a segment that was up for Mark with the contestants.
So yeah. Anyway, so nobody raised any strong opinions about whether or not to kill the chickens. Although Davey, who is on, I like to remind myself, he's on Vuku. He did say that he wanted some, there was some chicken recipe or some special chicken from where he's from that he was saying, oh, we're going to cook some. And I can't remember what it was. But anyway, so yeah. So Orange, so Vuku won the chickens, and then and Jabini won the eggs. And so Jabini is Purple, and they're the team that Natalie is on. Angelina, we have Mike, we have Nick and Lyrsa. And we get back to their tribe. And first thing back, we have Natalie in an argument with Lyrsa about how long eggs will last and whether they should be cooked now or whether they should keep them in a raw state and then, you know, and how many days they would last and all that. And Natalie, of course, has very strong opinions. And actually, so she's like, no, we just need to boil them now. It's only two eggs apiece. And, you know, who we can eat them now or not. You know, each one of us gets two. And, you know, Lyrsa was saying, oh, I went to culinary school. I know once you cook them, they won't last as long after they're cooked, that you have to keep them at a certain temperature or something to keep bacteria from forming. I don't know if she's correct, but that's what she was saying. Natalie just goes off, puts water in the pot, grabs the eggs, doesn't even ask anybody. I mean, it, you know, boils them. And so that was kind of the big argument. Well, there were two big arguments on that tribe. And that was the argument between reward challenge and tribal, or immunity challenge.
Yeah.
So thoughts on, I don't have many thoughts on that, because to me, that's just Natalie being Natalie. I mean, every single episode, she has just, it's her way or the highway. She knows what's right. If you don't do it her way, you're the one that's wrong. And to me, that just shows, again, she just grabs the eggs. She's like, well, I'm not going to, screw you guys. I'm going to boil these eggs, mm-hmm. And so not a good way to play the game, in my opinion. So thoughts?
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And, my internal monologue as I'm watching any of this is, I'm aware of how much, the editing can play a part in how we perceive the different characters and their motivations and all of that. And I try, as a good liberal fella, I try to, not let myself fall into my, preconceived notions about the angry black woman stereotype. But at the same time, whenever Natalie makes decisions like that, it's hard to root for her, because it would have to be maddening for everybody else just for her to take charge, even when you have somebody, trying to say, hey, I've been to culinary school, I have some informed thoughts on this, and she just ignores it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's one of those things where, I think someone like Natalie is so interesting that, she sees they're just eggs. Again, I said this the other week, these are grown adults bickering about eggs. These eggs in the supermarket, these aren't even a dozen. This is what, less than $3? But out there, that's all that they have. And it's less about the eggs and more just about letting somebody feel like their voice matters. And for Natalie, I think her biggest flaw is that she just doesn't see past the the objective, let's do the most logical, efficient thing. Efficiency is not always an empathetic approach to things. And so even though she probably thought she was right, and maybe she was right, she should have pumped the brakes a little bit and let someone like Larissa, who maybe, again, Larissa also shouldn't be raising a stink. Let someone else piss people off and just sit back and eat your egg, whether they're scrambled or they're fucking fried, just eat it, shut up, and let her piss people off. So again, it's really tricky, but it's the eggs. It's so much more than the egg. It's it's the politics of the egg.
Yeah. But
poor gameplay on Natalie's part, though, for sure.
And Mike, but we do see here again that Mike is completely, utterly irritated and pissed off by Natalie in that situation. And he's just I don't remember if this is where he has the one-on-one with the camera or not, but he basically says, oh, I just cannot stay. I just don't know how long I can stay in the game with Nat, how long I can play with her. He's like, I'm so ready for the merge because, I don't want to play with her anymore. And so there's definitely we've seen that all along. I mean, she's always been a very contentious sort of player. And so then moving on to Teva, that's where we have the what you call it? What was it? Bro?
I've already forgotten it now.
Anyway,
Brochachos.
Brochachos. We have that conversation. And then we do have, they don't focus on them too much, but we do have the Dan thing, we'll talk about that. But other than that, they did focus just a tiny little bit on basically Dan saying, well, we've got Christian now as a member of Brochachos. We're all, the guys are all meshing here. And he says that kind of puts Gabby on the outs. And,
Gabby handled that so well.
And so what did she do? Because I don't remember.
Oh, she just had another panic attack and started crying again.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, she's just a mess.
I remember they're showing them standing around this piece of bamboo where Christian's trying to split it or something. Maybe they're rebuilding the shelter. I'm not really sure what they're doing. But and you see her in the background with this kind of scowl or sad puppy dog look on her face, like, oh, I'm not part of the group, or whatever. And so they talk about that. And then we have the part where Dan is saying, you know, okay, Gabby's the one on the outs. We definitely want to vote her out if we go to tribal. But I want to make sure that she doesn't have an immunity idol. Mm-hmm. And I know when we go to a new island, a lot of times there is a new immunity idol. So he's like, I want to go find this, even though I've already got one, because I want to make sure Gabby doesn't find it.
Yeah, you're right. That's how it went down.
Yeah.
So then he goes around and, you know, and I did see, I felt like I saw that Christian was standing in the background, kind of in the distance, while Dan was looking for the idol, right at the beginning of the shot when they started showing him kind of looking around. It looked like Christian was in the background and saw him. I don't know if either of you noticed that.
I did not notice that, but it's very possible.
And I don't know, maybe he told him he was going to go. I don't know, because they didn't normally, when someone sees someone else looking for an immunity idol, they're like telling the whole tribe. But since Christian and Dan and John are kind of, you know, thick as thieves now, he probably wouldn't care even if he saw him. So he goes around, you know, he's looking and he finds a clue. And the clue, it's one of those where, hey, the immunity idol, there is an immunity idol, but it's going to be hidden at the next challenge. And you're going to have to basically get this thing while everyone's standing around. It's basically what he had to do.
So my question for you guys, since it's been a few years since I've watched a season of Survivor, has that sort of thing been typical in recent years? Has that happened before? Because it's the first time I've seen like something like that where they find a clue and then you have to look for it later.
Yeah, they've definitely, in the last maybe 7 to 10 seasons, it's been a thing where you'll find a clue to an idol, but not the idol. And there's like sometimes it's like up in a tree, or you have to go on this like crazy hunt, or it's like buried somewhere. Season 31, Second Chance, is when they started leaving them at challenges, which I think is a great idea. But, you know, there's been sometimes they're like, you know, there's like clues hidden at challenges, sometimes the idol itself, but they started making it harder just because people were just able to find like them. So they were able to find them so quickly, because when they're out there, the rumor is that they would be able to, people who were successful at finding idols would know where they were, because when they would walk by areas where clues or idols were hidden, the cameraman would just like swarm them. And like they learned that like if they have to catch this moment, and so they would kind of like fuck with them pretty much, primary language, but they would figure out that like, oh my gosh, this is clearly a spot where I need to be because they're all hounding me here. So they've made it harder and harder to, you know, you have to do more than just finding a piece of paper now. So the idol or the idol at a challenge thing is a extension of that.
Well, it made it fun to watch. I mean, it was kind of nice. So, I mean, it's a nice twist they've added.
There was another one. I don't remember the specific season, but there was one, I want to say within the past couple of seasons, but I don't remember. I just have a very vague recollection. So I remember it was a water challenge, and there was a girl that was, she was sitting out for that challenge. And she was sitting, and the idol was like right under her legs. And she wasn't the one that knew about it, I think, but the one that knew about it had to figure out how to get it without her knowing. And like, and she was sitting there the whole time. And I don't remember.
It was Game Changers. That was Michaela and Sarah. And that was the advantage that actually won Sarah the game, which is crazy. Michaela sat out and was so pissed that she wasn't participating that she overlooked this advantage. And then Sarah like saw it. And that was the advantage that Sarah used at final six, final five, that got her safe and eliminated Suri. And thus she made it to the end. So
I would think
I love talking to you, Evan. You really are the savant.
I'm a freak. I'm such a freak.
I would think now that, you know, people who are big Survivor, you know, people who are auditioning for Survivor and who obviously, you know, most of them who audition watch it and follow it very closely, I would think that you would be looking for advantages at challenges, just kind of, you know, maybe you're so focused on winning that you're not really doing that. But I mean, as much as they have done that in past seasons recently, I would think that would just become a thing that, you know,
It is a thing, and I think the what makes a good player versus a great player is that a good player will always be looking for it, but they're eventually like they're sleeping maybe 2 hours a night, they're not eating, they're not rested. Like those challenges must fucking suck. Like that was must be the worst part of that show. Like there's no way that like they're having a great time. It's like you're like you probably just like take yourself out of it for 2 seconds, and that's what this girl Michaela, who was literally sitting on top of this advantage for however long that challenge was, she was like, I just took myself out of it for however long it was. And that in that moment, I like messed my game up. So it's being on, but being on at the right time. And like, it's a little bit of luck, but it's, you just have to always, always, always be looking for something. But then you have to do it and not look crazy. Because then if you're always looking, people think that you're a, you know, a schemer.
True. And we've discussed before already how, you know, it's interesting. You want to look for idols, but if you're caught as the person who's looking for idols, that looks bad for you, for the rest of the team. And so it's like, and it always, it just strikes me as, I kind of understand it because you're like, oh, you know, they're scheming, you know, they're not really trustworthy. But at the same time, everyone wants an idol. So, I mean, if someone's looking for an idol, they're just doing what everyone else wants to do, you know, yeah. But I mean, whatever. So, he gets that, and then I'm trying to think. So we talked about, Jebeni and kind of the conversation about the eggs. So Vuku really, I don't think we had much conversation in their camp, after the reward challenge. I don't remember there being very much drama there. I mean, at the beginning of the episode, we saw Kara kind of trying to convince everyone that on the David tribe that she was the one to carry forward. But I don't recall there being much in the way of drama or conversation between reward and immunity on Vuku. Do you guys remember anything?
I don't.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
Yeah, they didn't really focus on them because, well, I mean, they're not going to be important in the immunity portion or the tribal, so... So anyway, then we go to the immunity challenge, and that one is a little bit more complex. I don't know that I can describe exactly everything, but they had several. They're like they're dropping these ladders, and they have to climb up, and then there's a bridge, and somebody has to go. They have to hold this rope and hold this bridge up for one person to cross it, and then they release some kind of latch that then holds the bridge, and then everyone goes across, and then there's another situation where they have to unravel some ropes, and I don't remember if it was a key or there was like a bag, but they have to unravel a rope, and then they eventually get a ball. And then at the last part of it is it's a snake looking thing. How do you describe that competition? It's hard to verbalize what that is. They've got a ball, and they're trying to. I'm doing my hands the way. But it's hard to describe if you aren't watching it. But there's a ball on a little perch, and they've got ropes kind of controlling this perch that the ball is on, and they're trying to maneuver it up this snake shaped thing. And get it to a hole at the top, at the snake's head, for lack of a better way of describing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at any point, because the snake body is not very wide and it's very kind of curvy. And so at any point the ball could fall over the edge and you know, and you have to start over when that happens. And so actually we start out with Nick from Jebeni is doing the actual snake, the ball bit. And he's quite a bit ahead of the other two teams at first. And it started out with who started out on TV on the green team? It was it John or was it Dan?
On the puzzle or a...
On the the puzzle, the last bit with the ball.
I think was it at the green. I'm so bad with the tribe names. I don't remember honestly.
Well,
I think it may have been John.
It might have been John, because that's where Dan was standing kind of back. That's where, so the idol that Dan, or the advantage that Dan was looking for was actually underneath a little thing that was kind of behind where everyone was standing on their little mat that was watching. And so I think Dan kept kind of slowly working his way backwards. And so I think it was John who started, and then John just wasn't having good luck. He dropped the ball at least once. And so then Christian took over.
Yes.
And then during that time, we see Dan slowly making his way, and he's able to successfully grab the idol and put it in his pants.
And you love really, that part.
That was the only reason I was excited to bring this up in the first place, was because for the second time, we know Dan has had both of these idols down the front of his underwear at some point. And so I don't know why I find that so fascinating.
Dan, can I sniff your idol?
Oh, my gosh.
Totally. But and, you know, to his credits, he really wasn't wearing anything else. He, you know, that where else was he going to stick it other than in his crotch? But
if I had a nickel.
So, yeah.
So Larkin has a question, but I'm the only one, Larkin, that is concerned with crotches. So I doubt Evan or Chris are going to have anything to say about this question. I'm the only pervert of this whole panel. Even Fatty doesn't look at crotches, and Fatty is a big pervert. I can't. Anyway, Larkin says, gay question. Do the producers put the well-hung boys in boxers versus compression shorts underwear so they don't have to do as much blurring?
Yes, actually they do. And they're very specific about it, because there was a scandal on season 17, it was Gabon. And there was this hot doctor named Marcus, and it was a challenge where they were running, and Marcus was, because the producers picked their clothing, obviously, and Marcus wore boxers, and in a challenge, his dick fell out, and like it was on TV, and they got this huge fine for it, whatever. And so the casting people, they are very specific now on like the kind of underwear they make people wear, and it's because they want them to, one, either snatch everything up or have somewhere to put things like idols. So I don't think you really don't see people wearing boxers anymore. It's things that they can that snatch everything away. Snatch being the gay term for
and that makes sense. Although the tighter underwear that you're talking about that kind of holds everything in place, depending on the state of your, you know, whether you're a grower or a shower, whether you're partially hard, many other things, that actually shows a lot more as far as outline than boxers. If you're in boxers, you can't see anything at all. Now I can see, you know, boxers, things could fall out, or, you know, or if you're sitting the wrong way, you could see up, you know, inside the boxers or whatever. But the tighter boxer briefs, I see quite a few crotch outlines that, and sometimes they will blur even those. I've seen them blur if it was too much of a bulge or something. I've seen them blur those. I don't know. I really pay attention to the crotches. So Christian takes over for John. Dan gets the idol and puts it in his underwear. And then for Vuku, we have, I want to say Alec I said that already. So Alec's doing it for Vuku. Christian's doing it for Green, which is Tiva. And then on Jabeni, I think it was Nick.
Nick, yeah.
Nick who was doing it. So anyway, it ends up that that Christian is actually able to be the first one. So even though John had dropped the ball, Christian came in later. You know, Alec on Vuku was ahead of everyone at the beginning. Christian was still able to pull it out and be the first team to win immunity. And then the next one was, and I may be wrong about that order, but I think it was Christian. And then the next one was Vuku. And so Alec was able to complete that. And then, so that leaves Jabeni as the losers. I might have gotten that wrong, and it was Nick that was ahead. Yeah. Purple was ahead. Nick was ahead, and then green and orange, Vuku and Tiva, were both able to get there before him. But it was very close. It was very close between the last two teams. It was
the anxiety of must just be like through the roof when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And I loved the moment with Christian when he wins and they're like so supportive of him and he like is like beside himself. And
yeah.
You can tell he's not someone that has ever like, you know, been the star like athlete or the captain of anything.
Right.
Like that was like a really good moment for him. And that's what's cool about Survivor to me. It's like these people that are like there's never a time where he's going to have that position to be that hero. And that you can tell he was like really, really like taken back by it.
And it certainly solidifies his standing on that tribe as well. So if I'm
the man now,
If I'm Gabby, I'm like, damn it. I mean, I'm glad we won, but why did it have to be Christian?
Yeah. You know, well, if I'm Gabby, I'm going to fucking stop crying and I'm going to start throwing him under the bus because he is a threat now. He is playing the damn game.
True.
And he is in a really good spot with everybody that he plays with. So I'll be curious to see what happens, because I would love Christian to do well, but if anyone is smart, they will get rid of him very quickly because he's playing the damn game and he's so good at it.
Agreed.
So then we get to, so the title of this episode was something about eggs and jackets.
Mm-hmm.
That was the title of the episode.
Well, let me go get my jacket. Hang on.
So is your jacket worth $1 million? So we go back, Purple has lost, Jebeni has lost, and so they're going to go to tribal council. And immediately we go back to their tribe and we start seeing all the conversations going on. And of course, the first conversation that we have is Natalie, Angelina, and Mike are together, and Natalie is like, okay, guys, who are we voting out? You know, she's immediately taking charge of the, and they didn't really make a big deal out of that, but I just noticed like she was totally, who are we voting out? He really did get a jacket. Are you cold?
Maybe. Or I'm just getting character.
Oh, okay. And I did have a question for you, Evan. So then the whole thing comes up about Angelina saying that she's always cold. And that she's like, we should vote out Lyrsa. But she basically says, I want someone to steal her jacket before we vote her out because I want to have her jacket. Is it not against the rules somehow to steal from? I mean, like,
it's muddy. Yeah. So my understanding of the rule is that if you are voted out and you have something with you, it's yours and you can take it. But there have been a lot of scenarios where people have been voted out and they've like left things at camp. And so I think in that situation, it is like just willed to the tribe. But I don't think you can steal, like you can't steal someone's stuff. I think maybe she could have been like, hey, Lyrsa, can I wear your jacket tonight? And then like have blindsided her. But I don't think you can steal someone's personal property. I don't think that's something that's allowed, but I don't know.
I think the word steal came out of somebody's mouth. We're like, we need to steal her jacket or something like that. I feel like they said, but anyway, I just thought there's no way. I mean, they can't allow, I don't recall anyone ever saying, hey, let's steal this thing from so-and-so. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would be surprised if you could just like steal someone's stuff. You could hide it. Maybe like, remember you don't remember like Sandra, like, hid Russell's hat or she burned him. And like that was like kind of probably problematic, but I don't think you could have like stolen her Lyrsa's jacket.
So there's all this drama about jackets anyway. So Angelina's cold. She wants a jacket and they talk about, well, we should vote out Lyrsa because Nick is going to be a better, I don't know the reasoning exactly, but Nick is going to be a better help on the tribe. Like they were basically saying, you know, Lyrsa is not good for anything and Nick will help us win challenges and stuff, and we want Lyrsa's jacket, which was basically the thing. And then we start seeing these side conversations happening where, so basically Nick and Lyrsa are talking to Mike first. Well, Nick is talking to Mike first because Mike has already said, I don't like Natalie and I want her to go home. And so so Mike and Nick have this back and forth, you know, and Mike's like, well, I might be on board for that, but, you know, you're going to have to go over and talk to Angelina. And so then Mike, we see in a side of him on the camera saying, I really want Natalie to go, but he's almost saying, I don't want blood on my hands. I mean, he doesn't come out and say that, but he's like, hey, I would like Mike or I would like Nick to convince Angelina. I don't want to convince her.
He says that he wants to do it in such a way that the rest of the Goliaths won't be mad at him, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have that chat going on. So Mike seems like he's on board for voting Natalie out. And then Nick talks to Angelina and she's kind of on the fence. She's like, well, you know, we're supposed to be staying Goliath strong, but I see your point. You know, Natalie really is, no one really likes her and she's not playing well with others, et cetera. And then you get the thing they do with that kind of split, the person who's on the fence, who you're like, this is the deciding vote kind of thing, where they're like, before they go to tribal, they're like, well, I could vote for so-and-so. They always have an interview with them or like a voiceover where they're like, well, you know, we'll just have to wait and see until we get to tribal who I'm going to vote for. So, but then we have Natalie is talking to Nick at some point during all these back and forths. And she basically tells him, she says, I would like your jacket. I'm cold. I would like your jacket. Would you give me your jacket? And he says, no, I'm not going to give up my jacket. And she says, oh, so you're saying that's $1 million jacket. Mm-hmm. And then he says, so are you blackmailing me right now? Because are you telling me that I have to give you my jacket? You know, and she's like, no, I'm not blackmailing you. I'm just negotiating or whatever she was saying. And so now Natalie, and I don't know whether she was trying to get it for herself or if she was trying to get it for Angelina, because the original conversation was about Angelina being cold.
Yeah, she didn't need a jacket. She had one. I think it was for Angelina.
Okay. So Nick is just totally pissed off. He goes back and tells Lyrsa and, you know, and they just kind of have. So thoughts on those conversations, Evan?
Yeah, I appreciate the bluntness of it and like how, you know, upfront she is. Natalie is such an interesting character that like she would be so, you know, bold to like pretty much, she was blackmailing him. And I think he, in that situation, like he probably should have given up his jacket if he thought he was going to go home, because you have to do what you got to do. But yeah, I don't know. There's a little bit behind the scenes tea, if I may, that like apparently it was like known that Natalie was going home. Like they, like Angelina did not want to play with Natalie. Like everyone was like kind of over her. And so the Lyrsa vote and the bit about like her trying to like, you know, like her trying to act like she was going to vote Lyrsa out for her jacket was just to kind of make Natalie feel secure, because she didn't want Natalie to think that they were voting for her. But I just think, yeah, like there was the line, it was like, oh, this is over a jacket. I'm a person, not a jacket. And Natalie was like, no, it's a person wearing a jacket, and therefore it's about the jacket. And I'm like, this bitch, like she is just relentless. Like I don't know what I would do, but it was a very dicey thing. I don't know.
Chris, thoughts?
Could you imagine getting out there and a jacket being why you get voted off?
No, but you know what? No. I know it's $1 million, but I am stubborn. So if someone basically did what Natalie did to me and said, you know, and basically give me your jacket or I'm voting you to go home, which is basically what she was insinuating. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, no, bitch, I'm not giving you my jacket. Screw you. Nobody likes you anyway. I mean, I'd get voted off, but I mean, I can't stand it. My parents and I were watching this. I really have an authority thing. My parents and I were watching this version of Cops on A&E, which is, it's like PD Live or something. I don't know. They have all these, they're like following like five different police departments all at once. And mm-hmm. it's like a new version of Cops. And they were asking somebody to give him their ID, but he hadn't done anything wrong. He was just sitting in the back of a truck that had gotten pulled over. And I said, he didn't have to give them his ID. He didn't do anything wrong. I wouldn't. And they're like, well, don't you just want to, it's the police. Wouldn't you rather just be cooperative? And I'm like, no, I don't want to be cooperative. Take me to. So yeah. I'm one of those people. I'd be like, bitch, you are not getting my jacket. Uh-uh. Yeah. Whatever.
See, and then I'm over there like, all right, well, he's not going to give you his jacket, but here's what we'll do. I'm going to get him to give me his jacket, and then we're going to vote his ass out.
Probably.
And then we'll get his jacket and his stubborn ass and go to Ponderosa. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. Actually, yeah, I think I would never go on Survivor because I don't want to be in the element, in the elements. But I think I'm a pretty good social player, actually. I probably wouldn't. I would want to do that, but I'm a people pleaser, so I probably would just want to please them.
Yeah.
But I might try to come up with some creative solution. Let's share the jacket. Let's half the day you get it. And half, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. But I'd be thinking in my head, bitch, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. So, Chris, I don't recall if you gave us thoughts.
Well, I don't have many. But again, I recognize that there probably was way more going on behind the scenes than what we saw, as Evan has said. But with the narrative of what we were shown, what it was really suggesting is that Natalie just has this stunning lack of self-awareness. You know, if she was willing to, you know, basically throw down her game over strong-arming for a jacket, you know, which it really did paint her as being just completely lacking in awareness of how other people were viewing her. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Larkin in the chat room says he got this from Twitter. So Stephen Fishback asked, serious question. Did Angelina vote for non-eliminated player only to set up her jacket request? So did she vote for Lyrsa only to set up for the request because later she asked for Natalie's jacket? And the reply from Angelina on Twitter was yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And so she apparently told Lyrsa to like make sure she was okay with it. She asked for her permission. She's like, sure. Which is crazy.
That is a lot of shit. It must be cold. They must be cold or something because it's like, I'm going to vote this way, but only to get her jacket.
Seriously. People are apparently requesting her P.O. box so they can send her jacket. And she's like, literally, I have money. Like, please donate your jackets to Goodwill.
I'm just looking at Angelina's Twitter profile right now, and she has a pinned tweet at the top of her profile at the moment that says, in honor of last night's Survivor episode, I'm donating to Empowerment Plan, a Detroit nonprofit that does amazing work making jackets for the homeless. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
So then we go to Tribal, and And there was a lot of back and forth, but basically the bottom line was so Jeff starts with talking to Natalie and about how, you know, maybe I don't remember the exact words, but maybe she was caring too much about efficiency and getting her say and everything than playing the game. And Angelina and Mike were both agreeing with Jeff and saying, you know, Angelina was trying to be very diplomatic about it. You know, she's like, well, you know, we all, you know, she's like, we have disagreements with Natalie, but we always, you know, work it out in the end or something like that. I mean, she was being very like diplomatic about it and everything. And at one point, because Natalie keeps talking over Jeff, and Jeff will say, oh, I'm sorry, Natalie, you had something else you wanted to say, you know, keep going. And then Jeff finally goes, so what we've learned about you, Natalie, is you always have to have the last word.
And she said, no.
She says, no, I don't always have to have, just sometimes I want to have the last word.
Except when I do.
Yeah, except when I do. And I don't have a lot of, because there wasn't a lot of drama. It was just kind of a straightforward, I mean, it wasn't like last week where people were whispering in other people's ear and stuff like that. I mean, we just had a little question answer session before the vote. Did you guys have anything that you wanted to bring up about the interview or the tribal stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I... nothing other than it was very clear that Angelina was like playing really, really hard to like make it seem like she wasn't, you know, aware of this blind side. And she really phoned it in here. But I do think that Natalie like thought that she was safe. So it's always interesting watching it back. And like, I think she was very confident. I love her confessional, how like I wish that we could see her again, just because she has this formula. It's like, I am going to be really nasty, and then I'm going to give you one compliment, and I'm going to end on that note. And I think she earned a ticket back to Heroes Villains too, just from those two confessionals alone. But yeah, this tribal was interesting. And I think someone like Natalie, who was so unaware of how she is coming off to people, I can see why she was actually shocked that she went home.
Yeah.
I think she was shocked, because to me, she just seemed oblivious this whole game so far. I don't know. She just doesn't seem in touch. She didn't seem in touch with any sort of strategy or anything. She was just all about getting her way and being a strong, you know, whatever, leader, boss woman, you know, like she is back home. So I just felt like she's just oblivious because she's been oblivious this whole time.
Like, and she's like an executive. Like, I don't think she's always had like people bend to her will and work for her. And I always, my boyfriend are always like, there are people that work for her that were watching this and just living, because they were like,
right,
I can't stand you, you're the worst, but like, I can't say it because my ass will be without a job. But it's like great watching you get, you know, read to filth on TV. She's probably a great, Lyrissa said it very well. She's probably a lovely woman in real life, but out there, she was probably insufferable. And I think it took even like a logical player like Mike, who was like, probably should have kept her because she is going to be a loyal person. Like, at some point, like that, if it grates you that much and he was willing to just like bend strategy to get rid of someone because he doesn't like you, you probably were insufferable to live with. So I don't blame them at all for getting rid of her. That's going to be an awkward ass pre-jury trip, though.
Yeah.
Her, Natalia, Jeremy, who she fought with. Freaking Jessica, who's like 14 and doesn't know anything.
Yeah, and Jeremy's the one. He's her other kind of, I voted you out, and then I'm like, but your hair is fabulous, honey, or whatever. Or your skin. Yeah, that's what it was. It was this week where she said, I love the purple hair.
Yeah.
That's
take your members only jacket back to Boston. Like, all right.
So they all vote, and then Jeff reads the votes, and it turns out that Natalie is voted out. And she gets up to leave, and Angelina proceeds to like beg her. I mean, not just once. It was like four or five times. She's like, Natalie, woohoo, Natalie, over Natalie, here, Natalie.
This is your moment, but hey, real quick, hey.
yeah, hey, real quick, could I have your jacket? You know, it's like...
Well, but first, gave her a big hug, acted really surprised.
Oh, yeah.
At the outcome, which, you know, if what Larkin is saying is true, then, you know, she was doing some good acting there, but, you know, acted surprised, gave her a hug, and then, yeah, hey, can I have your jacket? Which had me cackling.
And not just once. She's like, okay, oh, but Natalie, like, she, like, brings her torch up, gets it snuffed, and she's like, no, but really, Natalie. And then the greatest shade of it all is if you watch it, and then you watch it, she ignores her, and then Natalie's wearing the fucking jacket on her like exit interview.
Yeah.
genius shade.
She's like, I don't know who voted for me, so there ain't no way I'm giving her this jacket.
and she was right, though, because Angelina knew she was going, and that was all. She was hamming it up for her. So, I mean, good on her, but, oh, that was that's two in a row, two ridiculous, like relatively iconic eliminations or exits.
So anyway, good episode, and we got rid of Natalie. So there's a, you know, it's always, I don't know. I mean, I was glad to see her go because she annoyed me, but she might have been one of those that would have been good to carry along because nobody would vote her for her to win, at least not based on how she's played thus far. So I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I do think, like I said at the beginning of the show, Goliath is picking themselves off, which is good for David. But I mean, what's going to happen in Merge? You know, are they going to be at each other's throats because they haven't been loyal to the Goliath thing, or they're just going to be like, oh, screw it. Forget about Goliath. You know, we're picking ourselves off anyway and just kind of form other alliances. Or I'm curious as like how that's going to play out. And maybe next week we'll see a David go or, you know, whatever. But at least these past 2 weeks, I mean, Goliath has been picking themselves off. So.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see what happens. This is what I was saying. Like, it's great to watch once like the theme or like the thing that is so pushed on you for the beginning as a viewer is like kind of erased. And like we see next week that like Allison and Gabby are like, you know, bonding over something, and these they're on different sides. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And I would imagine they're going to merge soon, I think.
I was trying to figure that out. I went back and looked, and it looks like in recent seasons where they've had, you know, started with 20 contestants, they wait until after like 7 eliminations before they have a final merge into one tribe. So that would mean one more. So after next week, maybe the following week they would merge.
Yeah. If they did a final 13 with the final 3 and then 10 juries, that would be like, that's been the standard, I think. But we will see. But what's great about that is that no matter what, like whoever, I mean, obviously whoever's eliminated next, that's awful, but these are all really interesting players, I think. And I'm really excited that the rest of them will be, I think there's going to be a lot of good gameplay coming up. They all seem to be really into it. So
everyone needs to be picking their 4 picks for their, I don't know. So Evan, you're not aware, but, and I don't remember if we talked about this in your episode, but on our Big Brother podcast, I created a little game where, we pick 4 people, to be on our team, and we get points, along the way for things that happen to them. We decided to, and then we pick a winner. So Fatty and I compete against each other basically, but, we're not doing that until the merge. So
that's fair. Okay.
So we're gonna, and basically you'll get a lot of points if they win, obviously, but you get points for other things. Like if they, you know, we'll say that, but any, like in Big Brother, it was, if they got head of household for a week, you got points, or if they won a challenge, you got points, et cetera. So it'll be something similar to that. And then we get points along the way and see who wins at the end. So that'll happen on the merge.
I'll start drafting my fantasy squad. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, any last words from either of you before we wrap up the episode?
I'll just say that after the episode a couple weeks ago when Evan was on last, I really was paying attention to the set of Tribal Council, and it really is just a beautiful set. So I appreciate you pointing that out so I could pay attention to that.
It's so good. It's so stunning. God, good for that.
I was wondering, I was looking and I was like, now I wonder if that's actual stone or if it's like some fake like faux, you know, because they're outdoors, so it has to be somewhat substantial, you know?
It typically is. Like, I mean, if it's not real stone, it's like that spray on stuff, but it's definitely like very solid. They spend money on that.
Do they, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but do they like rent that property, or have they like bought property in that? Because they're, you know, you said they're kind of staying in that general vicinity now.
Yeah, they have like plots that they rotate challenges and stuff. So I would imagine like they built that either on a previous tribal set or a challenge area or something that was like favorable to be an easy like filming spot. But there's definitely like have been several other shows or bits of other seasons that have taken place in that area for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, Evan, did you have any final thoughts or?
No, just another great episode. This season is so far fantastic. And my hope is that if we're going to compare this to Big Brother, like I feel like Big Brother this last season, Caitlin, when she was evicted, like was like a great character. And then as soon as she was gone, like it kind of like the season just kind of did its own thing. And I compare Natalie to Caitlin. Uh-huh. So I really hope with Natalie gone, like other players will have a chance to kind of shine and do their own thing. But so far I am really, really enjoying this season. So thank you so much again for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We certainly have characters, that's for sure. And, I do like Christian. I'm interested to see where he goes, but anyway, so if you want to subscribe to our podcast, if you haven't already, you can go to survivorsready.com or survivorsreadypodcast.com. And we will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.